What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
An education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
G'day guys, welcome to another episode. Before we get too far into it, could you please like, subscribe, share, comment, literally anything that you can do. It'll help out a lot. Thank you. All right, welcome back. You just couldn't stay away and wanted to round two.
Well, I just feel like we scratched the surface of so many fun topics that I thought you'd drive away. And like, we didn't really finish that, we started there, Jim.
Well, Anthony Ring, Excavations. Yes. Coming back, yep. And so you literally drove out of here and texted me and said you wanted to come back.
Well, I texted you and thought, we as I said, we scratched the surface of 30 different topics and didn't really sort of solve any of these, you know.
It's actually what I made the podcast for, to solve all of the world
problems
in 1 hour time slots.
That's correct. Yeah,
slowly but surely.
Not often I solve problems at 11 on a Monday, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are. All right. So, what's going on? What was the first one you thought to yourself? Hang on a second. I wanted to talk about that. I'm sure that there's top of the list.
Well, there was more. Probably not solving the problems, but how I as a businessman. And I'm sure you and you and I have a different relationship to say most. Other people but what are the key things behind that helped me solve any issue like the bad times and I think it all comes back to vulnerability. And
yep.
That's probably the main word that I use. It's not easy for men to use that word, especially in a big macho industry like construction. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we spoke about the people that look after you in the industry and who you. But when you find out who's in your corner and who you can rely on, and whether it's a client, whether it's a fellow contractor, whether it's whatever it is, when you figure out who's in your corner and you can leverage off those people, and when I say leverage off them constructively, like you can rely on them to deliver if you're engaging them, if you're working with them or for them, it's probably the best thing I ever did in my business. Because the key that everyone... What's the first thing that anyone says to you, Jimmy, you're busy?
Yeah, of course. They're asking for themselves. What about when you're not busy?
Jim, are you flat out? You're busy? Yeah, flat out. And I'll never forget the first time I said to someone, no, I'm not going great.
Yeah.
And the look on their faces.
What do you mean? That's all everyone always says.
Everyone's always
busy.
Flat out.
Not flat out.
And I remember saying, no. For some reason... And it was around that 3 or 4 years ago, and I had a bad year, and I caught up with some mates that owned quite a large construction business in one of the biggest in Melbourne, and the three directors, and they're building bloody half the roads in Melbourne and stuff. And they said, "Ringer, how you going, mate? What's happening? Blah blah blah." And I said, "I'm shit ass,
real shit."
And I thought, "This is someone. These are the guys I want to impress. Like they're friends of mine, but I want to be, although I'm on the scale." I'm a minnow compared to these guys. I still want to make them feel like, you know, I'm bloody... in my sector, I'm the man. That's what, you know, and that's what you want to do. And I said, I'm shit house. I've been fucked over contractually because of all the rain. I've been stuffed. I haven't been paid. I've got builders and clients going broke on me and I'm bloody shit. And I saw all their faces go, oh.
And then what they do...
No good.
What they do then?
Oh, we went about. It was a Saturday or a Friday night. We had a function and we were all together at. And Monday morning, I got a phone call from the director and said, "Man, I can't stop thinking about our conversation." I said, "Oh, what's?" He goes, "What's? Talk to me about your contracts. Talk to me about this, that, and the other." I said, "Oh, mate, you know, well, it rained. In our world, we rely on selling dirt to to people, and when those sites are underwater, and greenfield sites are underwater and all that, all of a sudden you go from your buyback to paying tip fees."
Yeah.
And I said, and I was hell, because the dirt in the ground I was moving hadn't changed, but the places I needed to take it were affected. I said, he took my contracts with 7 in-house lawyers and watertight, pardon the pun, made my contracts much more safer for me to engage in, to the point where builders would go, well, I don't want to sign your contract. And I'd be like, well, if you want me to sign yours, you need to, this is my side of the contract you need to sign too that protects me.
Mm.
And so they did that, and they rang and checked on me every, the main director was a mate of mine, rang me weekly, bi-weekly, how you going, how's business?
Isn't it funny that, so I've as everyone has, no one really talks about, but everyone goes through these ups and downs. Yep. Like it's a business is a roller coaster. Yep. The highs are so high, but
yep,
the lows are so low. And it's, I went through low recently-ish and, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be because you got no work. It doesn't necessarily have to be because you got no money. You can feel snowed in when your business is flying, or 100%. you can feel like you're killing it and got big things are coming when your business is dead in the water. But 100%. You need these, the support systems around you. You know, like you and I have some similar friendship groups and stuff like that, and it's just, it's so important to have them. And then when the chips are really down, like whether in your personal life, work life, or stuff like that, you some of the people who come and stand up for you, you know, like this guy ringing you on a Monday, you know, you just might have been having a really shit afternoon and said, "Hey, I'm having a bad time at work," and they could have gone about their day.
Yeah.
Their weekend, their life, and never did anything.
Never even thought about it.
Yeah. And so the way that they've helped you, I've got a good one, reverberate through your life. Those contracts will forever be better for you. 100%. You will be in a better position consistently from them helping you.
Yeah.
And they barely even know. But I try and tell the people who help me out a lot, you know.
100%, because those guys, as I said, that, and a lot of those sort of people, especially if they're self-made, they know what it took to turn their business into what it is now.
Yeah.
And they know the people that helped them, they know relationships. And you don't have to lie to them. You don't have to sugarcoat things. You don't have to do anything. But you're not asking them for anything. You're not asking them for financial. You're not asking them for anything like that. It's just knowing that you subconsciously almost tell them because they've been there.
Yeah.
And just knowing that they'll call you up and go, "How you going?"
Yeah, yeah. It's almost saying
they're thinking about, I've been in his position before, and what a little phone call from someone of their caliber can mean can change. You know, the worst day in the world, and someone like that can go, someone like that actually cares about what my little business is doing.
Taking 2 minutes out of their day
gives you a little bit of confidence that, hey, people actually are. I've got people in my corner, like, you know, people, because in Australia, unfortunately, there's a lot more people that want to see you go down than see you succeed.
Yeah,
and I live in a small town.
Come into my inbox.
Well, I live in a small town where, Jim, it's so unfortunate that I live in a town and I give myself personally to the town. I in all the sporting clubs, I volunteer, I sponsor everything.
Drop it. You're president of the
Sorrento Sharks.
Of course you are.
Great footy club. But we're a big country town in Sorrento.
Yep.
But when you're vulnerable in a way and you put yourself out there to do these jobs, you're forever... People are forever trying to cut you down.
Of course.
Because in Australia, it's unfortunate that it's a tall poppy syndrome.
But it's like, so up until a point, they love you.
That's
like,
right.
Absolutely love you.
Because you're doing a job no one else
you're
wants
the man.
To do.
That's you're right. The man. And so I used to get a lot of positive communication through my social channel. Yep. And you've been around for a fucking long time. Like, you know that this... who I am, it's not necessarily on what social media is, but I used to get so much positivity flowing through to me.
Yeah.
You know how much shit I get now from people?
Yeah, because you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah, yeah. I post, looking for an operator, and they go, "Well, if you weren't a dog, you would have operators."
Yeah.
And you go, "I don't even know who you are." It happens all the time with the trucks, like looking for trucks. Like we had a busy month.
Pay your rate.
Pay a better rate. And you go, "I'm paying a good rate. I'm also the only one working in the rain, mate." So not only that, maybe I'm using the rate to keep the tip open you know, I've also got an office full of 20 people and a business to run and tax to pay.
Everyone's got families.
You know, fuck off.
That's what it's like. And I get that sometimes, and especially in voluntary roles.
Yeah.
It's the worst because I don't need this shit. I've got a business. I've got a kids. I've got a building, a house. Do I need this?
Got life.
But there's something that's ingrained in people like is that, like yourself and me, that you go, well, you know, it's the what you get out of it is I go to bed at night knowing I employ a lot of people, that and that flows on to families, kids, houses, roofs over their heads. Then the same thing with any voluntary things I do, and but you go, I like the pressure of it, because and you know what? For as much shit as you get from those people, the good stuff outweighs. But it is frustrating. It does. You wouldn't be human if you didn't admit that the bad stuff wears you down, because people. Because if I ran the footy club into the ground tomorrow and then went broke in my business, unfortunately, there'd be more people going, "I told you so," than people going, "How can I help?"
Yeah, 100%.
And that's the worst part.
100%. But like, there's a couple of different parts there. Part number one is that sure, you're built to run, like you're built to sprint. Actually, you know, you say you like to be busy and you like to do this. You know, like you just end up, you know, we're never staying in bed until 1 p.m. or playing video games or doing like. Low result tasks.
Yeah.
You know, like even at home, you fuck around, you're always doing like.
Doing something.
Doing something. But then where's why do you do it? I don't know. Well, I want a nice house. I want to be rich. I want my kids to have something. Now, I don't know how it goes about, but it's all sorts of get rolled into one. You talk about your mates who I'm pretty certain who they are, but we'll leave their names out of it. Why did they have to build the fucking company that they did? Like, that you take on the risks, employ however many people.
Thousands.
Who knows?
Yeah.
There's something that drives them inside for themselves, and it can't be that their kids are going to go to a private school and get a good education. Mm. And it left a legacy for them a long time ago, you know, like whether the kids get 10 million when they die or 100 million when they die, doesn't really matter a shit. Regardless, but something in you keeps driving you along and makes you keep getting out of bed. What is it? I don't know. I say sometimes it's a sickness.
I think it's everybody's got a different
driver,
a completely different driver. Some people genuinely want to be rich, and I've got no qualms. Some people want a bloody Lambo. They want a private jet. And they want a holiday house in every corner of the earth, which is great. And do you know what? If that's your driver, that's fine. Like,
where's your holiday houses? Like, do you have one in like the French Riviera?
Not yet.
No. I'd like one at Phillip Island.
Phillip Island would be nice. But I found and I think having kids and your kids growing up and all those type of things, and your kids are the same age.
Yep.
I work hard, one, because I like to see what personally I'm capable of. I enjoy going. You know, I can be. Tolerant, I can go, I've got to this point, I'm happy with that. But then I went to go a bit bigger, and then it started affecting my
everything.
So
everything.
I pull it back a bit, and I go, all right, I'm doing this projects on the side, whether it's building a house, running the football club, doing all these things. But I actually get the most satisfaction out of what I see you doing well. That's that gives me personal satisfaction. That I've been part of that.
Yeah. You have
and
been.
And whether it's been as a friend, whether it's been as doing business together, or whether it's just been supporting, whatever it is with all my friends and everyone, I get the biggest joy out of seeing my friends and family all do well.
Yeah.
And to me, money can't buy that.
But you need to be doing well in that area
to be correct.
So there's certain tiers on the way through, and that's where it's okay to want Anthony Ring X ARE to do well. It's okay. That's right. In fact, it's the starting point. After that is when you can enjoy all of the other things. Because let me tell you, if you're fucking broke, you ain't working at no footy club.
That's the exactly
only
right.
The only reason so that's you, the and driver, me too.
That's the know. Driver for you to be able to go, well, now I've given myself the freedom to enjoy everyone else's
Well,
success.
That's what I say is the engine.
Yeah.
You know, like the car's not going to move. You're not going to be able to go anywhere, enjoy anything if you don't have an engine. Starbucks, for me, is the engine. You can build upon that. You can do whatever you want, end up wherever, put as many people in the car. The engine can go in a bus, a truck, whatever. But without Starbucks, you're fucked. Because we're stacking shelves at Woolworths in the middle of the night to pay the mortgage.
Which there's nothing wrong with. But it's, you don't give yourself the freedom to do the other stuff.
You wouldn't necessarily be able to buy the freedom.
No, and it's buying your freedom. That's what you do. So I've built the business now to a point where I can pick my kids up from school any day of the week. I can drop my kids off at school. I coach my daughter's footy as well as be the president. But all those sort of things, my business now, Thrive, is giving me the tool to be able to enjoy. So in reality, your money makes your life easy because I don't worry about where my next meal is coming from. I'm lucky enough to not have to worry about those little things. But if I don't have to worry about them, well, what can I do to give back to people that may worry about that sort of stuff? And it doesn't even need to be financially.
Oh, yeah.
But if I can be supportive, because Sereno's a wealthy area and we entitled area, whatever we get called. But it's funny enough that being involved in the community, there's lots of widowed men, there's lots of widowed ladies, there's kids still from nothing. There's blokes that are still struggling with their wife and kids. There's women that are struggling with their husband.
Yeah.
And you find that
that's everywhere, and no matter the amount of money you get, marriages will fall apart. Marriages will fall apart. Marriages will be tough.
Yeah.
You know, which, I've got a divorce. Everyone knows this here. Life is not easy. No. Life is not easy. And I don't know where.
You can't buy the satisfaction of giving people a support network in a community.
And being part of that support network. Yeah.
And that's what I enjoy. Don't get me wrong. Enjoy the materialistic things. You and I have both got fast cars and I've got a nice house. But those sort of things I go home to at night, but I'm actually more satisfied as who I've helped that day and how.
Mm. It's interesting because, for years I picked up my eldest daughter from school and in the last year I haven't.
Yeah.
Because business has been harder.
Yep.
Yep. The market is down at the moment. It's one of the reasons.
You've got to work harder to win work.
You've got to work harder to win it. There's less money in it. The wages have remained where they are. The fuel, whatever's remained. But it seems like the pricing's gone down. And not only that, the amount of work out there has also gone down.
Correct.
And so I haven't been able to pick her up. And you sit down and you feel like a shit dad or whatever, or you just feel like, what's it all for in terms of – but then I'm still here, still trucking. But without picking her up, and then I wonder if it's just all of this, just a big wank that, you go and buy your freedom to do that until you don't have it anymore.
But it makes you appreciate it when you do have it.
It's been
because there's weeks, there's months that I can't do it either, and we both do it. Where I've got to drive. You're at the north side, but it's an hour and a half into Melbourne in the mornings, and I've got to be here all day. I've got to watch over a job, and I don't get back till 5 o'clock. I've got to go home, pick up in the next morning, and you go. But then when you get that month or two when everything's going well.
Which hopefully it's coming.
And you get to do those. Right. But it makes you appreciate all that sort of. And I also do it with the employees. You get someone that goes, oh, my kid's starting kinder tomorrow. I go, mate, have half a day off.
Yeah, of course.
Start at 10 o'clock. Was it first day of school, last day of school, assembly. Go and do it all. But you get that all back.
Yeah. That comes
when you need your employee to work till 6 o'clock at night because the plumbers are starting tomorrow and you've got to have that site cut finished.
But in saying that, I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you. You're not doing it for that. You're not doing it for the 6 p.m. finish. You're doing it because it's important to you to go to Addie's day at school.
That's right.
And it's important for me to go to Scarlett's first day of school and Sophia's and your little menace that runs around also.
It's important that your employees do it as well.
Yeah, and so because you have those values for yourself, you tell them, listen, go watch your son run headlong into a pack of footies.
Watch him do cross country or whatever the blood of the hell it is.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yep. And then, but it's not that you're doing it for the 6 p.m. finish, but that then comes under a different value. The value is you have to work hard,
it's a different scale of working hard to get your reward of your freedom.
Yeah, of course.
And you might be an employee, but if you're a company person, you'll get out what you put in. Like in anything, you only get out what you put in.
If you work for a good company, for a shit company,
that's 100% right. You want to value, and that's what I mean. It's not hard to separate yourself from because a lot of my employees have all worked somewhere else, and I always say, "What did you like there? What didn't you like?" And I go, well, if they didn't like that, you only get the best out of them when they're happy.
Yeah.
If they're not happy, that 6:45 to be ready for seven, that first truck at 7 o'clock becomes 7:05. Start the machine up. You don't get a truck out the gate till 7:20. You know what it's like? All of a sudden, they miss a whole round for the day.
Yeah. That's the money.
They don't know that that's cost you $2,000.
Yeah. It's actually the money. That's the money you make.
So they don't actually realize, but by them giving them the tools to have that work ethic, and that work ethic comes from them enjoying their work and getting rewarded for effort, actually makes you a lot more money.
So let's dive a little bit deeper into it, because everyone talks about the good, fluffy, rainbows, yep, unicorns times. You and I have both been through times that we've been stomped on.
Yep.
Right? And it's hard to talk about because no one wants to put the bad shit out there. But, like, yep, I've had employees that have ripped my heart out, you yep know, like brothers, best friends, you know.
Everything.
Yep. And they've ripped it out and they've stomped on it on the ground in front of you, and you've given them – I have stood in front of someone and I have said, what do you need to stay? Please don't leave me. Don't quit.
Yeah.
My daughter, she calls you uncle. What do you need to stay? I'll give it.
What are you missing? What am I not giving you that you're
requesting? And you just tell me what it is. Yeah. Is it money?
Yeah.
I don't want to do this without you. I was probably scared to not do it without him. You know?
That's right.
But what do you need? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and said, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And you go, shit. And now looking back, you know, one, I'm real happy that I did that.
Yeah.
I'm real happy because it means that, like, after that, our friendship dissolved, everything else. Yeah. Now I wish him nothing but the best. I hope that he kills it in whatever he's doing. I know what he's doing, but whatever it is, hope he absolutely demolishes it because he deserves it. His family deserves it. So do his kids. But as a businessman, as a friend, as a boss, as a brother, as whatever, you get hit and then you're not allowed to say that you get hit.
Yeah, I used to get extremely annoyed that people, why don't those people have my values?
Mm.
And it used to really get up. I used to actually get annoyed about a lot of stuff that I couldn't control. And that we go back to, we talked about it earlier, about only worrying about things you can control. I can't control that if you and I are pricing the same job and you tell me something and you go to the builder, well, actually, I'm going to do it for this price.
Yeah.
I can't control that. Okay, well, that says more about you than me. And that's what I learned to go back to going, well, if we get vulnerable in a way that we teach a lot of people everything that we've taught the hard way. So I've, over the years, the amount of people I've taught things that I've learned hard lessons, right? And they get taught from me being probably too trusting. This is how you do this. This is how you price this. This is how you X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D. And then
hang on a second, bring it back, because you say too trusting. Is that the person you are?
Yep.
And in which case, are you going to change the person who you are because of they are? And in which case, we're going to teach someone else again.
Correct.
And it's been 10 years, 15 years, and they've gone out, they've been our competition.
That's right.
You know, we have very similar, same stories. Or they've gone out and helped build another company up, you know, with all of the – like, we had to pay for the training and someone else just gets to pay a wage, you know.
That's right.
We're paying for a guy to screw it up the times that they, you know, might have not known what they were doing, and we had to spend all day with them. They don't have to do that. They just rock up and now they know the whole job.
That's right.
You don't want to actually change who you are, and in which case keep training.
That's right. And you look – try and find the best in everyone, and you go, he wouldn't do that to me, she wouldn't do that to me, whatever it is. And then you find you get two people in your business that get together and go, well, if we cut him out, we can win this job direct, and we can, because he just plays golf, or he just goes surfing, or he just does
you're this not even go, good at golf.
Well, that's right. Getting worse the more I play. But I go, you know what, I used to let it get to me.
Mm.
And I go, they see the good part of it all.
They see
me playing golf once a month or whatever.
Oh, come
once,
off.
Once, twice a month.
Four or five
but
times
they see
a
that,
month.
But they don't see the 11 o'clock at night of me trying to get a quote out. Or they don't see the 15th of the month, 60 days after I've invoiced them. Hey, remember that 100 grand that you promised? I sort of need that 45 days ago. And then you go, you know, I'm going to let them figure it out.
You know what? You know, I have a guy, I rung him up, he owes me $100,000, right? He rung me and said, listen, I've got a friend of mine, I need help, please help me. Did the job, about $400,000 or $300 and something grand, I think it was. I rung him up, I saw that it was 60 days overdue. And I rung him up and I said, you haven't paid. And he goes, your office didn't chase me.
90-odd days.
Yeah.
60 overdue.
Overdue, 90 days from the month of invoice, which means that it's 100 and something days from when we first did the work, you know, for that month. And he goes, your office didn't call me. Your office is usually really good. And I said, so what, now it's my responsibility?
To chase the money.
Yep.
It's not a bad excuse. I've heard a few. That's up there.
Instead of doing it your way, mate, because it's my responsibility, how about you just give me your bank account details and I'll just transfer me the money. Every month I'll log in and transfer myself the money.
I'll pay myself.
My responsibility, no problem. I'll even help with your accountant when he calls up and I'll just run your whole business, eh? And he's like, I just can't believe it. Now, mind you, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now he's still saying, oh, I'll pay it soon and stuff like that. And that's right now. Like
he'll pay it when he needs you to start the next job. That's what'll happen. But the thing is, and what I've learned is, I used to let it make me really upset, really angry, and I'd go. But now, and I think we talked about last episode of how you and I are competing against each other for the same job.
Mm-hmm.
What differentiates you from when? And you can go, I've got the best truck. I've got the best newest laser levels. But
my laser levels are the most levels.
That's right. But I rocked up not long ago to a job, and these are the things that these people don't see because they haven't done the 10, 15, 20 years of learning the hard way. Mm. I rocked up to a job in Portsea, and ironically, it was a tier two builder that you'd know from that does some of Melbourne's biggest jobs, building a house in Portsea, which says something about the house. And I rocked up to meet the
Small, three better, one bath.
Yeah, it was tiny. That was the guest wing, I think. But I rocked up to meet the project manager, and I rocked up. And I always have this thing: if you're Jimmy Starbuck, the builder, you send me some plans. If I'm going to meet you on site, I want the plans first. I'll get my head around the whole job before I meet there.
Yeah.
And I rocked up to the job and said, "Yeah, we're going to have to stage this. We're going to have to pull these trees down, cut a flat platform in, so we can actually get into off the road." Then we can get the trucks off the road. Then once we do this, anyway, it was a 10-stage, basically, way of getting to all the levels of the job because of the site. It was 7,000 square meter site, but it was a tricky site.
7,000 square meters in Portsea.
Yeah.
So it might have been 4 bedrooms and 1 bathroom.
Yeah. Correct.
Thought so.
And long story short, we had a half an hour meeting, and I talked them through the whole job. There was 3 prices. And I was the most expensive.
Of course you were.
Right? I think I was $150,000 for the whole job. The next guy was 120 and the other guy was 90. So I was 30% more than the bottom price. The guy, the PM calls me up and goes, mate, thanks for the meeting, blah, blah, blah. He goes, you're the most expensive guy. Mm. I said, oh, well, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for letting me know. If it doesn't work out, he goes, no, but I need
Cheers, I'll be on a golf course.
Yes, but don't call me,
right. I'll call you.
He goes, I need you to do the job. I said, what do you mean? He goes, the other two rocked up and said to me, what are we doing? He goes, you rocked up and we're based in Melbourne. We're building a house in Portsea. And he goes, I need contractors that know what they're doing.
Mm.
He goes, those other guys might be cheaper, but they're going to cost me more in the long run because I'm going to have to manage them. And they said, it's your area. It's beach sand. We actually don't even know what we're doing.
Yeah, no, it's a prick.
So we're relying on you. So we need you to come down a little bit, meet us in the middle because we've got to justify this to the client as well. So I came down 15% or 10% or whatever it was. I came down.
The client's your boss in the office, mate. Yeah, like, just walk down there and say, you know.
But there was no world where I wasn't winning that job.
No.
And I knew, and he was going back to the vulnerability, he was quite open on the phone. I need you to do this job.
Yeah.
But also need you to respect that.
Look, we have our job to do too, which is manage costs and all of that shit.
Yep. We sat down, had a very open meeting with the client, the architect and the builder, and I did the whole job. I actually became quite good friends with the client through the whole thing because they were learning something the whole time as well about how to manage the whole my process. they were in construction as well, ironically, the owner.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the difference between myself and the other two, who were well-respected, well-known contractors, one from Melbourne, one from locally, but they didn't know one bit about the job before we got there.
Isn't it hard to some – or isn't it – we were talking about the guy I had on yesterday. We won't mention anything about it because, you know, no one will be able to do it. But to sell your value in a game where it's – the value for them is different. It can be price. So you showed value there. Yep. You rocked up and you thought about the job.
Yep.
They gained confidence in what you were doing because of how you presented yourself and how your knowledge was presented to.
Yep.
Which was now we're getting into a bit of a TED talk about how to sell your company. So now every competitor you've got. So here's the thing: everyone thinks that sitting here and saying, "Listen, study the plans before you rock up." That's like a business 101. Fuck yeah, I'm going to be able to make it.
Know the plans.
Yeah, I know the plans. Rock up.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember everyone talking to me online and they're like, "Oh, how did you start?" And you go, "I had a 3-ton," and they go, "Yeah, step one. Step two. What is step two? Win work.
Have a work ethic.
Got it. Okay. Step three. What do I do? Because step three is where it gets important. Okay. Now I turn over at this line, $2 million. Done.
Done. And I'm successful.
But everyone gets so worried. But let's just say that you know and I know, half of the people still that you could show them this podcast who have a business that are competing against you or whatever. Show them this podcast. Hear your story about rocking up, knowing the plans, thinking about the job, maybe doing a drive-by before the builder gets there or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're still not going to do it. And then even if they did do it, the way that it comes across when they rock up and say, "You got to cut this tree down," they go, "That's not on our CMP." And they go, "Yeah, well, you got to cut it down anyway, and I'll just send a guy around with a chainsaw." And you go, "That's not going to work."
That's actually and that doesn't work like that.
No. Yeah. And so then everyone's so worried about talking about the tips and tricks and everything and how to build a business that the actual people that talk about building businesses know fucking nothing.
Well, hang on. What is it with business coaches? There's more business coaches on my Instagram.
Than businesses.
Yeah. That most of these people have never run a business.
I had one pop up yesterday, popped up for me, and it said, "Do you run a transport company?" First line, bang, I'm hooked. I run transport. Yeah. Do you work too hard and blah, 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 in your office and your margins are in between 5% and 7%? And you go, well, you know, net profit at 7%, that's probably not great, but not terrible.
Yeah, yeah. It's sustainable.
I can do net, GP bad. Net, not bad. Message me and then I'll be able to fix all of your problems in 6 months. So then I look on his thing. He's been a business coach for 20 years.
Yeah.
Now, even if he ran the biggest transport company ever, do you know how much has changed in 20 years? You got no idea.
No, and I see that and I'm like, how can you be a business coach ever without actually – but it goes back to everything. Our Prime Minister was a checkout chick. Now she's running the whole country. I assume she found a business coach on Instagram. But there's like – but that whole – you can't beat the real – but some people have – the real life experience, and some people, there is a point where you may need a financial advice or business coaching or whatever. But my theory is, and everyone's got their different theories, and that so many people are so worried about the pennies, they forget about the pounds. Oh, and they're so worried about, how can I save $100 here or $100 there?
Or tax. How do I save paying tax so that I...
How do I do this? But why are they doing all that? They're forgetting about where am I making money?
Yeah, where's my engine?
How can I?
Where's my engine building that?
Is that building relationships? Is that working on the business, not in the business? But hang on, I stopped my guy. He did 3 loads yesterday, and he didn't use the tolls, and I saved $35. Fucking well done. He did 2 less loads.
Yeah,
because he didn't use the tolls.
So I had Excel spreadsheet. Fucking, do you know how I feel about spreadsheets? Even though I've got people online telling me that if you don't know spreadsheets, you know your business is going broke.
I don't know how to use a spreadsheet.
Anyway, they put my finance team, the top two of the finance team came to me and put a spreadsheet in front of me about our tolls and about the fact that our toll invoices, I don't know. With the trucks, let's say our toll invoice is 10 grand a month or something, you know, with the trucks and the cars and whatever. And they're like, we need to save this. And I'm like, no, we need to spend more.
Yeah.
You know.
Get more loads.
That's right. You know, that's what we get. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we think we could cut this down and that we're using the tolls and we should get everyone here. And I'm like, well, you two brains trusts have been sitting here figuring it out. You know, 100 grand a year is a lot in tolls. I get it. Yeah. I understand. What are we making for that and everything else and blah, blah, blah. And do we trust our boys? And if we do trust the boys and girls, then let them fucking use the tolls and just send out an email, which you could have done at the very beginning. You could have said, right, we're going to do a quick look at our tolls.
Yep.
Could everyone please just be mindful not to use the tolls, you know, I don't know what the...
If you don't have to
and be professional and if it's only going to save a few minutes, don't use it. But if it saves you 25 minutes, use it.
If you're getting three loads a day, use it.
Yeah. And... that they would have spent, I don't know, like they didn't understand that they probably between them spent 2, 3, 4 grand of their wages looking at the tolls.
To come up with a conclusion.
To come up with the conclusion of please
use
don't
more tolls.
Yeah, either use use more tolls or don't use as many tolls if you don't have to, which we could have just done at the start. Yeah. Like, hey, Jimmy, what do you think about tolls? Hate them, but need them because I'm not going to sit in traffic when I can jump on the freeway, even though the freeways are half fucked now, but, you know.
It's everywhere, isn't it? But, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you got business coaches that you watch their Instagram and you watch that, oh, we can save you. You're losing money here, here and here, but they're not. They almost make you feel like you're doing something wrong. There's nothing that they're going, you're doing all this well and you can, if you do this even better, you can be even more better at whatever you're doing. And these things and all these ads that are making everyone feel like they're going bad. Well, they could be going much better, but
you waste
your tolls. Or you could have driven to another fuel station, say 4 cents a litre and done this, this and this. Oh, but that would have cost me...
But they've got no fucking idea. The amount of time it takes me to look at the fucking 4 cents a litre, I've spent the 4 cents a litre plus some. I can remember a bank that I was with. They used to drill me about having a meeting with a financial advisor.
Yep.
I was much younger. I was maybe in my mid-20s. I was turning over, you know, let's say a few million bucks, five million bucks or something. And I finally went. And, like, I can be a bit arrogant. I don't know if you know that. I get just slightly arrogant. And so I rocked up and this bloke who was about the same age as me back then, so 25, let's say, he said, you know, let's discuss your financial planning for your retirement. I'm like, dude, I need to get to next year.
Yeah, yeah. Try and Christmas.
Yeah. And not only that. When did you graduate uni? Like, who are you?
Yeah.
I'm like, and he's like, I can see you turn over a little bit of money, Mr. Starbuck. And I'm like, what money do you turn over? Because, what are you going to tell me about it? You know, how are you going to tell me about, you know, my financial planning when you don't have the experience in financial planning outside of a textbook? Because if he did, let's say he's...
You'd be more successful than me.
Yeah, he's got 25 million bucks and he's not working...
Yeah.
At the River Gum branch at
Hoppers Crossing.
Yeah. Exactly. Or
nothing against Hoppers Crossing.
Of course. But then it brings us back around, and we may as well, because we're here, you know, we both know a financial planner.
That's right.
They both know a guy in finance who's not in finance, who is in finance, that's full of shit. And we know his backstory. We know where he came from. We know what he did.
He should be a TAFE teacher teaching people how to run a good business into the ground.
Yeah. So
that would be a more suitable job.
He could actually create the course. I don't know how many credits it would get, what not to do, and then just explain to himself on the piece of paper what we aren't doing, how not to treat people, you know, the things that – all of that.
Right.
And every month now I'd see – or maybe even more than actually. The ad where it pops up and it's like, you know, what can we do to save you? And you go – you don't know fucking nothing.
You can't. Whatever you did, the opposite.
But is he teaching that? Like that's maybe he is learned.
But the thing I find is people are so hell bent on never losing a dollar either.
Yeah.
And I do. You do much more. I do anywhere from 10 to 20 jobs, separate jobs a day.
Yep.
And whether it's an hourly hire for a plumber, an hourly hire for a concreter. It could be a retaining wall or a basement, contracted basement, whatever it is. There's 20, yeah. 15 to 20 jobs running a day.
Yeah, so we do about 50.
Correct.
Up to 50 jobs.
I would say, let's say I had 15 jobs for the day.
Yep.
8 are making money. 4 probably breaking even. And maybe 3 might lose money.
Yeah.
And when I said lose money.
Of the 8, there's half of them which are making money. There's 2 of them which are making, not bad.
That's right.
And then there's 2 that are like.
That are making good money. And you go, and those ones that are losing money, it could be anything from, on Friday I ripped a three and a half ton machine. I need to race out and buy 2 new tracks. One was stuffed.
Now, 4 grand?
So there's 4 grand. So that job loses money. Right, not just loses money. Loses a shitload of money, but you
paid those tracks. Like,
that's right.
You don't put it all on one job.
If we're talking relative for that day,
that job's
run at a loss because of that. Another one might be you hit a gas pipe. It's $300 for the gas guy to come fix a gas pipe.
I rocked up this morning and had all of the bells and whistles on a site, and someone forgot to book an electrical spotter. And the first thing we need is to do to dig around the electrical. So they said, "Hey, mate, you go home. Come back tomorrow."
You've cost you money.
That's right. Like, you know, you go, I'm not going to financially recover from this for the week.
That's right.
Everyone's out here. We're all ready to start shooting.
And now what?
And now go home. We forgot. And you know, and I know, can you charge the builder for that one?
Not at all. Not zero.
Not zero.
Well, you can, but do you want to work for the builder again? That's the question. Because we had a basement that we just recently did in Malvern. I was doing my last bit cleaning up the shotcrete overburden, which was part of my contract.
Mm-hmm.
Slippery ramp, it had rained, the bobcat's going up the ramp, tooth hits the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Finished shotcrete. $100,000 or whatever the bill was. And the guy goes, man, it cost me $700 to patch the wall. I said, no stress, just short pay it and I'll send you a credit. He goes, what? I said, just short pay it and I'll send you a credit. He goes, oh, my last guy would have fucking kicked and screamed. It was my fault that I didn't have crushed rock on the ramp and next was.
Yeah, but you know and I know.
Yeah.
We have been the guy about the crushed rock because if life's tight, you know, or your missus is that's cracking right. on or, you know, like your kids are being shit, you didn't sleep enough last night, you pulled your shoulder playing golf and lost yesterday, then you rock up and this guy's like...
$700
Or $7,000 and you go... Fuck off. It's that's not right. $7,000. It'd be lucky to be 700 or whatever it might be. And you've been the previous guy. So it's just so, it's just such a seesaw. Business is just like, you know, I've gotten into fights or arguments with people. One of my sales reps has a great story. He's like, you know, we rocked up and there was no cattle grid in the scope, you know, rumble grid for anyone.
Oh, that's the biggest one in the history of the world.
There's no rumble grid, but we've signed on to clean roads and to try and make sure the trucks are clean, to which the builder says, you didn't install rumble grids because that's what I interpret that as. And I say, dude, I signed on to the ballast. I put down the ballast. It's punched all in. It's gone. If you want more, it's on you. We signed.
We did our bit.
We did our bit. And he goes.
Builders do think there's 10 to 13 loads of ballast in each ramp.
Yeah.
Over the course of the whole job,
after you've
finished 6 months earlier.
And now it's $40,000 on a 10 grand job with a crush rock. And so then I said to him, listen, there's only one fair way to do this. And he said, what's that? And I said, rock, paper, scissors. And he goes, rock, paper, scissors. I'm like, fuck yeah, rock, paper, scissors. I said, best one. And so my sales rep who tells the story, because he was actually arguing with it forwards and backwards first.
Was it for a load of ballasters?
No, to install a rumble grid, bring it in, put the rumble grid in and leave it there for the job. I got 10 in the yard, but it's not about the 10 in the yard. And then I said, there's only one fair way. And so my sales rep says, I walked backwards up a pile of crushed rock, put my hand like this and said, yeah, let's go. And he's like, Jimmy, it's like $3,000. I don't really want to be... you know, for the lifetime of the job. He goes, I don't really want to do it. And I said, well, we can argue about scopes. And I said, I sort of see your point a little bit.
Yeah.
And I said, but I sent a thing that said I wanted a rumble grid in it at the very beginning. And you said, you're not going to need one. So we took it out. Now you want it back in. Well, I said, so you have to see my foot. And I said, there's only one fair way. And I snatched him too. So I went scissors and he was a dickhead and went
paper
and I snipped him up and got my $3,000.
Got your $3,000.
Yeah. I think it was like $2,500. He had this rumble grid like, I think it was 6 months over the job. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's some people that it's what point you're willing to not lose the whole relationship for. And there's people that are out there that'll lose a relationship. This $700 on a basement, you go, it's 0.07% or whatever it is. But he's since that job, I've done 5, 7, 8 more basements.
You can't even, you don't even know how many basements.
There is people that will lose that relationship because they can't fathom.
Yeah.
Giving back.
But in saying that, I've lost relationships over the same sort of thing. Correct. And it's as you grow in business, which is where, you know, take a deep breath, you know, have a look at it, think of the greater good. Yeah. There's a thing in sales or something, they call it a loss leader, you know, where
it's something like that.
Oh, yeah, like where, I don't know, you sell an Xbox game for nothing, less than it costs you, but then. Oh, it might be the other way around. You sell the Xbox console for less than it costs you, so everyone has it. But the games,
40%
the games are shitloads. And then you know, you've got these loss leaders, and so yeah, sure, I'll lose a little bit on the top, but I've won the job. I had one, but it's really bad when it comes off, when it doesn't come off. So we priced a job, and he's like, Jimmy, we're so tight. It was about, I think we quoted 110, and it cost me 125. Cost.
Yep.
Then plus office.
So it should have been 180 grand.
160 grand. Plus. Yep. Easy. You know, 160 plus, because that doesn't take into account the girls and the boys in the office and
everything.
Anything. And then I miss the next job and he crunches me over 10 grand and you just want to, like.
But you learn. I think everyone, and this goes all the way back to your blokes that you teach everything. But they don't have never had those lessons. And they see the bright lights and go, hey, we're going to go out on our own and we're going to go and compete against you. And you go, okay, come. We'll. And then 3 months later, like, actually, can I just work for you? Because I need to be paid. Because I didn't know that I don't get paid.
No, I never get paid. Like, you may as well. Like, it's feast or famine, you know. You're in the Sahara Desert desperate for a drink.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
You've got a missus. You've got a. Oh, I'm an earth mover now. I'm going to go hire a factory.
Ooh, yeah.
And then I'm going to get a rental. And that new Navara, because it comes standard with mud tires, I can justify the 70 grand.
Love a Navara.
Little do they know that I drove my truck for the first 2 years as my daily driver.
Yeah.
But I go, no worries, you go do that. But I never begrudge anyone for having a go.
And, no, I think they need to have a go too, you know, and it's also we take the win as well and have taken the win because the guys who you have helped, I know some of them, the guys who I've helped, you know some of them.
Yeah.
They're doing great too. And they are going great and they work in with us and everything else like that.
When they realise that no one does it on their own. I don't do it on my own.
No, that's the network.
You don't do it on your own.
That's the network.
You can't go out on your own and do because you'll end up, you just get chopped up and spat out the other side, whether it's. People prey, and unfortunately, there's people that prey on. They know the weaknesses of a young guy that needs to be paid, and or whatever it is, and they need to have. And as I said, I owe no employees anything. If they've given me 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, they get worried about if I leave and go at my own, I'm gonna get the shit. You don't owe me nothing.
Yeah, they don't owe you.
I don't expect you to work for me for 30 or 40 years and line my pockets. I'm here I want to help you, but we can do it respectfully.
Together.
We can do it together.
I was talking to one of my friends. Sorry to cut you off, just touching on a point that you've made here in America. So his dad owned a company.
Yep.
And his grandpa owned a company. And they built like 90% of the interstates in 3 of American states.
Right.
So they're pretty small.
Okay.
Now, he's just exited and he's just retired. But every month or 2 months, his company puts up a post. I think they have about 5,000, 6,000 employees about the years of service.
Employees. Okay, yeah.
They have some 50-year people.
Shit.
50 years. Yeah. Then, like, 50 years, is this big. And it's been multiple have done more than 50. Then, you know, it's 40 years, 30 years, and it gets bigger.
Yeah.
And then it's down to 10 years, and the list is this big on the screen, you know, like your entire iPhone has to flick on it. You reckon we can get that now?
No.
I don't think so either. Or whether it's different in America, I won't talk for the rest of the world, but I do not think that in Australia you're going to employ your bloke at the age of 20 or 25 or even 30 or 35 and have him stay through to your retirement, no matter the company.
That comes back to the whole society putting pressure on people to be more than what they want to be sometimes. And I've got mates of mine that have solely gone and out of their comfort zone. Some people like to go to their comfort zone. Some people don't.
Mm.
But they've gone out of their comfort zone unwillingly to keep up with the Joneses. And then it's worked negatively, impacted their whole life, their friendship group, their marriage, their everything, because society's put pressure on them that, oh, if you're just an employee, you're a lazy prick.
Yeah, or you're not like striving enough or doing hard enough.
But some people, as I said, we go back to earlier, get their wealth and they get value out of their family time. They get value out of, you know what, I just love surfing. I just want to go. I want to make enough money.
It's their drivers. Is that like what they wake up for?
That's right.
You know, like their actual core of them. And they
understand that's what some people are driven to do. I've got operators in my business that are better operators than me.
Yeah.
But they don't want the pressure of what you and I'd go through.
Mm.
And the minute that they accepted that, they've been a great employee for one, but a happier employee and happier in their life. And I notice it because you notice it at work.
Of course.
Because they go, I don't care what anyone thinks. That wasn't for me. Whether they tried it or they didn't try it, but they can drive a dig out of like you wouldn't believe. But they can't do the 60 days. They can't do the quoting. They can't do the...
Well, they might not want to do the 11 p.m. You know, they might want to sit...
You know what? Good on you. If that's not you, that's fine.
It's but it comes down to a lot of other things as well. It's recruiters. Recruiters out there, there's definitely a recruiter watching this. So hello, Mr. or Mrs. Recruiter. There's a recruiter out there throwing a job in the face of someone in a phone call in this and that, you know, finding historical data on seek.com when they last applied 5 years ago, saying, ringing up and saying, you'd be a great fit. How much do you get paid? Ha, I'll make it go up 50%, you know,
And dangle the carrot. 12% of your wage is my fee.
Yeah, dangle the carrot. And the recruiters are pushing on the back end to push the wage up so that they get their bigger, dollar value from the percentage raise. There's Instagram and Facebook saying that you have to own a Lamborghini or, be a Dan Bilzerian or, an Andrew Tate with a yacht or even a Mark Zuckerberg with a yacht. Or, did you read that they were like they're offering $100 million a year for software engineers who know about AI? Have you read that article or seen about it?
Yes.
So there's this big thing where tech companies are fighting for the top AI, gurus of the world, and they're offering $100 million or $200 million.
I saw some Aussie bloke knock back $1 billion or something.
An Aussie bloke who went to Scotch College who's 30 years old got offered $1 billion for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then you're going to rock up and drive a digger for $25 an hour to learn how to do it.
That's right.
It even for me, you go, fuck, I'm doing so shit. Like, if only I was a genius who worked in AI.
That the world has turned us into, that you and I are successful in our own right, yet the world and the social media can make us feel
this big,
like we're nothing.
This big.
Let's go off. And I think people, it's a hard thing to do,
but my
if you can leave one legacy and it'd be to drive to people to accept that they are, what they do is good enough and what they're doing is good enough.
Well, but if, so I'd say it goes a little bit deeper that, me and you are successful in our own right because we wanted to build a business and built one.
Correct.
Okay. If you want to go surfing and you get to go surfing, you are as, if not more successful than me and you. If you want to do family time, if you want to be the best footy coach that you can be and spend, the least amount of time that you have to spend at work and the most amount of time being a footy coach as possible, you are killing it.
Correct.
You are the
driving that knees into people.
Yeah. You don't have to pull up to a footy coach in a Ferrari if you don't want to.
No.
And if you see someone online that you're like, you almost forget you wanted to be a footy coach. Or correct. I forget that I wanted to, dig holes in Melbourne.
But I see that, yeah. And I do those things that take a lot of my time in my week that I don't make any money from it. And
golf?
Well, yeah, but that's networking.
Oh, yeah, golf is networking. Got it.
But the footy club stuff and all that, and you go, geez, some of these people that I see online, they'd be working. They wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And I go, but do they go home at night with the satisfaction that they gave back or that they played golf with their friends? Because that
they
is
networked
important.
With their friends?
Networked, or we'd call it, as I'd say to clients, I've got a course this afternoon.
Oh, course, 18-hole course?
I've done a lot of courses. But those sort of things that you go, you know what, I could have done X, Y, Z, but I went out with my mates that I haven't seen for a month or so and we had a round of golf and it was great. And when I get on my deathbed, will I go, geez, I'm glad I avoided all those games of golf because I really wanted to make an extra 50 grand or 100 grand a year?
Well, hang on.
Did it change my
life?
Hang
on a second. What about, I'm going to play the devil over here.
Yep.
Okay. For you, the 50 or 100.
But it could be a lot more.
What about a million? You going to miss out on golf for a million?
No.
What about 5 million? 10 million, 15 million.
I need a time frame. How many years of that, though?
There is a price here because then you're starting to go, fuck, I could play golf later and do that. And I know for a very long time, because I know you gave up playing golf. Actually, I can tell one that you did do, because I actually know you better than most podcasters will ever know you, you know, whoever interviewed. Riding a bike.
Yep.
You used to be a killer bike rider and who used to ride up and down the peninsula like the biggest wanker you could be, right? Up and down Arthur's Seat. Right, there we go. I still remember.
Yeah.
And you loved it. Correct. And you gave it up so that you could work more because you wanted to work more.
Correct.
And so when you say that you're not giving up the golf games, and you know me, motorbike riding for me and stuff like that, I gave it up. At times the values change.
Correct.
And that's okay too because – and so then this is where you're riding with your bike mates. And the other part people don't discuss is then when you stop riding with your bike mates and you start working, they go, you're always working. And then you feel shit. Again.
But the funny thing is those same guys I rode those bikes with and I've recently, ironically, gone back to riding my bike, they're still doing the same thing. The minute I call them up and said, boys, where's the group ride? Where are you guys riding at the moment? Mate, jump on, 6 o'clock tomorrow, I'm meeting here.
It's still 6 a.m.
But that
rock up in your tightest lycra.
But it could be anything. It could be golf. It could be anything. You jump in the timesheet and you book. There you go. But the people, and that's what I'm talking about, those people understand.
Yeah.
And they're the people you want to spend your time with. Because it doesn't even get spoken about that, hey, Jim, I haven't spoke to you for a month. We haven't had a coffee for a month. But we both know it's not because we don't want to talk to each other.
Yeah, no. I haven't caught up with you sometimes in a year.
But you know that.
You know.
And it's not because I go, I can't be fucked speaking to Jimmy.
No.
But you've got a lot of other things going on. And then time comes around and we have a couple of lunches together and we do things.
Life
and nothing has actually changed. And there's never, you're a fuck. Make time. You don't make time for me or you don't do this. It's an understanding of people are doing things to better themselves.
The right people.
And that's you ring those golf mates for me or your riding mates and whatever, and they don't even question where you've been. They go, great to see you, Jim.
How you been?
When are we riding?
Popping your name pop back up. Like seeing your name.
Are you business coaching now?
Do you want to create a course where you so I'm almost convinced that those who what's the saying? Those who do and those who can't teach.
That's that's pretty much true. I defend a lot of friends that are teachers. But I think school teaching is different to those things. But
We're talking specifically business coaches.
Business coaches.
But we've got a couple of minutes left. Did you want to touch on one other thing at all before we finish up?
I can't remember.
Because today's been almost a mental health podcast. We've gone deep into...
I don't mind that, though, to be honest, because I've had a year of dealing with that sort of shit away from at work and away from work.
Mm.
And I think that, I'm not somebody that goes hell for leather in that space, if that makes sense. But I always try and look after the people.
Yeah, but this is, are you okay day where people rock up with cookies is great, but on the other 364 days of the year, where are you? You're not there with cookies, let me tell you. And so Are You Okay Day is great. I'll let everyone else, but I ring up people and ask them. I have a big thing about dads who have just had kids is my big thing. You know this because I went through a really hard time with my first daughter in multiple different ways.
Yep.
And not one person ever asked the dad how he is. No. They always say, how's baby, how's mum? Yep. And the dad goes, they're great, but I'm falling apart at the seams. But they never say the second part. They always just say they're so good, they're so cute.
That's the vulnerability thing.
Yeah, and they end up like repeating the same bullshit again and again when they're feeling dragged in a million different directions. And I've rung up people like 2-3 weeks, 2 months after they've had a baby, after everyone stopped calling and after everyone like that, I ring up and I say, how are you? And they say, good. And I say, no, but how are you really? Do you need any help?
What's going on?
And every single one of them says, oh, fuck, this is so hard. They're like, oh, well, I'm in the trenches, mate.
It's a vicious cycle, the whole thing.
And you just go, I understand, buddy, it's okay. Yeah. If you need something, we'll catch up for a beer, we'll catch up for a walk, we'll go somewhere.
That's probably my favourite part of my job. Is I feel like I'm a good people reader.
Yeah.
And I can tell if someone at work is having a bad day because of the job or if they're having a bad day because of something else going on.
Yep.
And you don't actually realise, and that's what I mean. My favourite part, all my employees and subbies, everyone to me, I consider them family or friends.
Yeah,
or
friends,
mates, right?
Yeah.
Because we rely on each other so much that you have to have that level of respect or relationship, because if you're keeping it purely as a transactional, you don't get the best out of each other. I don't care about them as much. They don't care about me as much, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to be best mates. We don't go out for dinner. We don't have beers. But we have a level of respect and relationship. But I can tell, and you've ring up, you know, if you're working for me, Jimmy, and Jimmy's been off for 3 days, but the job he's on's good. Something's not right.
Yeah.
Jimmy, how are you? Yeah, good. Fuck you.
Yeah, good.
Jim, what's wrong? Nothing. Jim, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Talk to me. Oh, mate, me fucking missus, this has happened. She's crook. I don't know how to deal with it. The kids aren't struggling with it.
I have to go
next thing you get an hour fucking phone call.
Yeah.
And then I'll get it to every single time. 15 minutes later, mate, sorry about that, but I appreciate you checking
cheers,
on.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thank you.
Next thing they are, but yeah, they're the things you don't put a price on. You go, well, I'm glad that I was in a position to make him feel better.
Yeah.
And they're the business, they're the fun parts of business that they're not financially fun. You can go have a win and make 100 grand on a job. Yeah, great. I made 100 grand. But you make someone else's life better. And I value that more than the financial side of it.
100%. Well, but Anthony Ring, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Will we do a third? I don't know. Maybe next year. Let's have 6 months rest.
If you like it, subscribe. Can't wait for all of this stuff to come out. We'll probably in a few weeks we'll put it all together, or a couple of weeks. All right. Thank you, Ringo.
Thanks, Jim. You're a good man. Thank you.
See ya.